The Walgreen Birthday Party. From Hollywood, the Walgreen Birthday Party, a full-hour variety program celebrating Walgreen Drug Store's 44th anniversary with Bing Crosby, Paulette Goddard, Abbott and Costello, Rita Stevens, Rochester, the Andrews Sisters, Don Wilson, and Carl Hoff and his orchestra. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, tonight from Hollywood, an all-star cast appearing before a million-dollar audience, each of whom has bought a war bond as his ticket of admission, we are proud to present this great all-star program on the occasion of Walgreen's 44th anniversary. And now, Carl Hoff and his orchestra sound off with a medley of songs dedicated to all our men and women in the service. Folks, your master of ceremonies, that fugitive from the Jack Benny Show, a man who is so round, so firm, so fully packed, Don Wilson.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And as for you, Ken Niles, it may interest you to know that since I saw you last, I've taken 30 pounds off my stomach.
Don, I know you took 30 pounds off your stomach.
Oh, you do?
Yes, and I also know where you put them.
All right, Ken, all right. Kid me if you will, but just take a look at all those lovely girls in the audience. Why, they all came here just to see the handsome Don Wilson.
Look, I got news for you, Don. These girls came here to see Bing Crosby.
Well, I'm sure all those men in the audience came here just to see Don Wilson, the actor.
Well, Don, it so happens that those men came here to see Paulette Goddard.
Well, all those kids came to see jolly Don Wilson.
Don, I'm positive that the kids came to see Abbott and Costello.
I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
Out to the alley. There's a Cocker Spaniel that wants my autograph.
Come now, Don. It's not that bad. Why, really, you...
Excuse me, Ken. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Wilson. This is Rochester.
Rochester.
Rochester, you're supposed to be here. Where are you?
I'm calling from the Walgreens drugstore in the Pentagon, Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.? Well, what are you doing there?
It's this way. I came down here to do some work on a reconversion project. Now, stop kissing me, honey, while I'm talking on the phone.
Rochester, that doesn't sound like reconversion project to me.
Oh, Mr. Wilson, you're wrong.
What do you mean?
It's a project, all right, but she sure don't need no reconversion.
All right, but you hurry out here now, will you? After all, from Maine to California, from Iwo Jima to Dutch Harbor, and to servicemen all over the world, the tune can't mean but only one person, that great singer of songs, that Academy Award winner, that fine American, Bing Crosby.
Yahoo!
I just want the right to love you all of my life. Just the right to take care of you all of my life. I just want the right to be near you, always to be there. Sharing every care and strife. Life can be as simple as a nursery rhyme. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all of the time long. I may live, I just want the right to give all of my heart, all of my love, for all of my life.
Just a few years ago, there were three little girls and one little tune. Fortunately for all of us, these three little girls found this one little tune. The tune, you probably recall, was By Mere Bistouchaine. The girls you know are the Andrews sisters, and here they are, the most popular trio in America, singing the song they made famous.
Till I first met you, I was lonesome. And when you came inside, dear, my heart grew light, and this old world seemed new to me. You're really swell, I have to admit you deserve expressions that really fit you. And so I've racked my brain hoping to explain all the things that you do to me.
By mere fist of shame, please let me explain. By mere fist of shame means you're grand. By mere fist of shame, again I'll explain. It means you're the fairest in the land. I could say Bella, Bella, even said wonder bar. Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are. I've tried to explain by mere fist of shame. So kiss me and say you'll understand. By mere fist of shame, you've heard it all before, but let me try to explain. By mere fist of shame means that you're grand. By mere fist of shame, it's such an old refrain, and yet I should explain. It means I am begging for your hand.
I could say Bella, Bella, even said wunderbar. Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are.
I've tried to explain by mere fist of shame, so kiss me and say that you will understand.
Welcome at Walgreens. Yes, from coast to coast, millions of people agree you're always welcome at Walgreens. In keeping with this friendly tradition, the 439 Walgreens drugstores are happy to have you as their guests tonight at this 44th birthday party show. Presented from the stage of the Wiltern Theater in Hollywood with your favorite radio stars. We hope you'll think of this hour of music and song in the days to come. And we hope that at the same time, you'll think of Walgreens drugstores as an essential part of our great American system of production and distribution. As the stores you can turn to for your every drugstore need. And above all, we hope you'll never forget that you're always welcome at Walgreens.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very happy to introduce... pardon me just a moment. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Wilson. This is Rochester, and I beg to report that I'm now in Chicago where I'll be detained for a while.
Well, what's keeping you there?
Well, I stopped into a Walgreens drugstore, and while waiting for a phone, I helped myself to the biggest vitamin pill you ever did see.
What's wrong with that?
That vitamin pill turned out to be a proto golf ball.
Now, you swallowed a golf ball. What are you going to do?
I'm going to hang around here till I find out what's par for my liver.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is with understandable pride and pleasure that we're able to present one of America's truly great voices. A charming artist whom you all saw in Going My Way, and whom many of you have been fortunate enough to hear at the Metropolitan Opera House, Miss Risa Stevens. Risa Stevens will sing the popular and colorful Habanera from Carmen.
Riposi e si viene da colla per si rigomia per refisi vieni qui me la soffrir lo ballo via lo prestete e si l'apre che se prefer il noria di me di la mappe. de bohème Il n'a jamais, jamais connu de loi Si tu ne m'aimes pas, je t'aime Si je fais mon prendre de toi Si tu ne m'aimes pas, si tu ne m'aimes pas, je t'aime. Mais si je t'aime, si je t'aime, prends garde à toi. L'oiseau que tu croyais surprendre, valide l'éléphant vola. L'amour est loin, tu peux le prendre, tu ne l'entends plus ici.
Microphone and footlights is another member of the glamour department. If you're a serviceman, you've pinned up her picture. If you're a civilian, you've applauded her in the movies. And if you're Burgess Meredith, you're her husband. In other words, Miss Paulette Goddard.
Tonight, Paulette Goddard appears on our All-Star Bond program in an original radio play written by James Bloodworth entitled The Most Beautiful Girl in Missouri.
Our scene is the office of Bill Bryan, city editor of the St. Louis Herald. Facing Mr. Bryan across his desk is one Ann Gunther, widely known as the most beautiful girl in Missouri. It would probably be safe to take in half dozen other states as well, but for our immediate purposes, Missouri will suffice. However rare as such flowers are in newspaper offices, Mr. Bryan is not pleased.
And I have no doubt that you are the most beautiful girl in Missouri, Miss Gunther. Also, I'm sure you're a nice girl. But why in the name of heaven do you want to be a reporter?
Oh, I've always wanted to be a reporter, Mr. Bryan, but everybody's always said just what you say. Until I met Mr. Reed.
Oh, evil day. Well, it's ridiculous, but I guess I'm stuck. Did you read this letter Mr. Reed gave to you?
Oh, no.
Well, listen. I quote, Dear Bill, this will introduce Miss Ann Gunther, the most beautiful girl in Missouri, and a friend of mine. Please find a place for her on your reporting staff, signed Tom Reed, owner and publisher. That's a great list of qualifications, Miss Gunther.
Oh, Mr. Bryan, you have other women on your paper, and I know that some of them are very good. Why do you think I won't be?
Because, Miss Gunther, you are far too pretty. You'll have everybody from the copy boys up, or maybe I better say from the publisher down, since you've already mesmerized him.
Oh.
Drooling all over the shop.
Mr. Bryan.
And besides, you'll probably be tough to get along with. I would be if I looked like you.
Well, it just shows you don't understand women. You know, it's just beginning to dawn on me that you aren't in favor of having me here. But, as you said, it looks like you're stuck. But don't be looking for trouble. I'm going to be all right. I'll work hard and I'll handle the wolves. I'm used to that. And with the manpower shortage...
Miss Gunther, I'm afraid the only thing you'll release for active duty is trouble. But you're here, so I'll have to make the best of it.
Well, thank you very much.
You are now a reporter. Go out to the Hotel Plaza and see a guy named Stafford Todd. He's a captain in the Air Force, and
you... Oh, dear. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Bryan. I can't do that.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want anything trivial like a job to interfere with your plans. Why, Miss Gunther, can't you do that?
Well, you see, I used to be engaged to Stafford. Now he won't even speak to me. He has an idea that a Coast Guardsman and I...
Look, honey, you may be the most beautiful girl in Missouri, but if you don't come back here with an interview with this guy, you will also automatically become the most beautiful reporter who is not working for the Herald. Now, here's what I want.
Hello, Stafford. Now, wait a minute. Stafford, don't be childish. Open that door.
Oh, what a cheap trick. Having the operator say you were a reporter.
Why, it's not either a cheap trick. I am a reporter. Let me come in.
Why don't you report something about the Coast Guard?
Oh, well, that's silly. I haven't anything to do with the Coast Guard. Besides, I'm supposed to be doing something about you.
Yeah, you did something about me a long time ago. Goodbye.
Stafford, listen. I know you're mad at me. You're wrong, but we won't argue about that now. You'd let any other reporter see you, so why don't you look at it this way, as if I were a doctor, you know, professional.
Because if you were a doctor and I let you in here, you'd probably cut my arm off. Go on, scram.
Oh, Stafford, for your own sake, I'm asking you for the last time to open that door.
Well, I hope it's for the last time. No.
All right, you ask for it. There are two men coming down the hall, Stafford.
Well, if they've got any sense, they'll stay away from you.
Ah!
Oh, gosh.
Hey, look out. Well, you don't have to break my wrist. I was perfectly willing to come in.
And haven't you any sense, screaming bloody murder in front of my door? As soon as those men get by, you get out of here.
Yes, it'd be a lot worse to have me screaming on this side of the door, wouldn't it, Sugar?
Oh, what have I done to deserve this? Look, you may be the most beautiful girl...
I know, I may be the most beautiful girl in Missouri, but you don't want any part of me. Well, just sit down, give me a drink, and it'll all be over very quickly.
Look, you've got to get out of here. No drinks, no interviews, no nothing. Just go.
I am now a newspaper woman. I've been sent to get an interview from you, and I'm going to do it. Besides, Stafford, I want to see you. And stop acting as upset as the last man in a cigarette line.
And... this is none of your business, but I became engaged last week in New York. My girl and her mother are here in town. They'll be here any minute for lunch. How do you think it'll look if they come in here and find you with that face?
Oh, engaged. My, my. Isn't that nice? What's she like? Not that I care, you understand. It's just part of the interview.
Well, she's a nice girl. Just a quiet, intelligent, nice girl who wouldn't go screaming around hotels to get in where she isn't wanted.
Pretty?
As pretty as a picture.
Whistler's mother?
No. She's young and pretty. In a dignified sort of a way. Well, she isn't so pretty that she's a freak, if that's what you're asking.
Like me, you mean?
Exactly.
You know, the war's done something to you, Stafford. You used to like me because I was pretty.
Well, it's all right to be pretty, but you abuse the privilege.
Golly, I remember one night you told me I was the only girl in the world who'd look better with two heads.
Well, that's ridiculous. Besides, I was younger then, and well, you weren't such a smart aleck.
Stafford.
What?
Don't you want to know what really happened with the Coast Guard and me?
Not especially. I'm engaged. You apparently have tied yourself up with a seagoing character who's protecting the coast of Boone County, Missouri. What's the sense of raking over a lot of things that are no longer important?
Well, they're important to me, and I'm not tied up with anybody.
Well, I don't mean to be harsh, Ann, but you were with this guy every minute. I read about it. People wrote me about it.
Well, it's true. He won me.
He won you? Oh, don't be silly. You talk like something in a raffle.
Well, I am. I mean, I went... Well, it was a raffle, practically. You see, they had a bond-selling contest in his unit, and the public relations officer who cooked it up got me in on it. I was the prize.
Good gosh, are they giving away with $18 bonds?
Oh, no. Silly. The boy who sold the most bonds won a date every night for a week with, well...
I know, the most beautiful. Go ahead.
Well, after all, I had to be patriotic, and he won. And all the theaters and nightclubs and places, they were in on it, too. And everything was free. And since he'd sold some fabulous amount of bonds, why, I lived up to my part of the bargain and we went everywhere together. After all, what was there to lose?
Oh.
And that's all there was to it.
Well, I'm sorry I was a fool, but... Well, out there in the Pacific, Ann, you seemed a million miles away. And I was thinking about you every minute. And when I heard all this stuff,
Oh, darling, I know. And I wouldn't have had you worried for a minute. Why, I wrote you all about it.
Well, after I began getting all those reports on you, well, I started burning your letters without even opening them.
Oh, sweetheart, you shouldn't have.
Well, I see that now. And, hey, what are we doing sitting here? Any second that fiancé of mine with a face like a floor mop will be knocking on the door. Let's get out of this joint.
Well, where'll we go?
Well, look, I have to report to a base in Texas in 10 days and...
Darling, kiss me. Oh, darling. And now I have to make a phone call.
Well, hurry.
Office, number, please.
Operator, will you get me Mr. Bryan at the St. Louis Herald? I'm in a terrible, terrible hurry.
Surely, miss. Just hold the wire.
Hello, Bill Bryan.
Oh, this is, oh, yes, Ann Gunther, Mr. Bryan.
Yes?
Mr. Bryan, I've decided you're right. I'm not going to be a reporter.
About as long as I thought you'd last.
Oh, but I did see Captain Stafford Todd, and I've got a story for you.
Okay, bring it in.
Oh, no, I'll just tell it to you. The captain...
Yeah?
He's going to marry the most beautiful girl in Missouri.
In a great 44th anniversary arrangement of Vincent Newman's Hallelujah. People trade at Walgreens than at any other drugstores in the world. Behind the steady growth of the Walgreen organization is the familiar story of American initiative. In 1901, Charles R. Walgreen, then a progressive young pharmacist, opened the first Walgreen drugstore on Chicago's South Side. Like other American pioneers, Charles Walgreen was not content with the merchandising methods in effect at the time he entered the drug business. He foresaw, clearly and correctly, the urgent need of making more goods more easily accessible to more people. He foresaw that tremendous savings could be handed on to Walgreen customers through large-scale buying made possible by opening more and more Walgreen stores. As a result of these principles, Walgreen drugstores in this year of 1945 are serving American communities from coast to coast. And today, as in 1901, Walgreen customers pay the lowest possible prices consistent with reputable quality. To you, the friends who have made this story possible, Walgreens are truly grateful. For today, more people trade at Walgreens than at any other drugstores in the world. This is the Walgreen 44th Anniversary Program, originating in Hollywood, in cooperation with the 7th War Loan Drive, sponsored by the Treasury Department. There will be a brief pause for station identification, after which we will continue with our all-star program from Hollywood. Party celebrating the Walgreens Drugstore's 44th anniversary with an all-star cast from Hollywood and starring Bing Crosby, Paulette Goddard, Abbott and Costello, Rita Stevens, Rochester, the Andrews Sisters, Don Wilson, Carl Hoff and his orchestra. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Wilson. This is Rochester reporting from Memphis.
Now, what's keeping you in Memphis?
I stopped off here and got myself an automobile. It's a Victory model.
A Victory model?
Yeah, I won it in a crap game. And I just can't wait till I take my girl out in it. It ain't got no motor and no wheels.
But if it hasn't any motor or wheels, how can it run?
It can't run, but brother, can it park? I'll contact you later. So long.
And now, returning to the microphone, is that Frank Sinatra of the gay 90s, Bing Crosby.
Just a minute there, fatter than me. Hope has gotten to you, I see. Huh?
Well, that's right, that's
You've
right.
poisoned your mind against me, huh? As a matter of fact, I may tell you, Don, that Frankie and I used to be the best of friends.
Used to be?
That's what I said. You see, the last I saw of old Lightning Rod was down in Times Square in a Walgreens drugstore. The boy was sipping a double malted through a straw when a terrible thing happened.
What was that?
The straw backfired and Frankie Boy was sucked in. I did the best I could, Don. When he came up the third time, I threw him an anchor. Right now, I must adjust my sombrero, step into my huaraches, and prepare to give out with a tuneful tortilla, my Spanish, from that great Walt Disney feature picture, The Three Caballeros. Better, Caballeros. Caballeros. You belong to my heart. Now, forever, and our love had its start not long ago. We were gathering stars while a million guitars played their love song. When I said I love you, every beat of my heart said it too. 'Twas a moment like this. Do you remember? And your eyes drew a kiss when they met mine. Now we own all the stars and a million guitars are still playing. Darling, you are the song you'll always belong to my heart. Now we own all the stars and a million guitars are still playing. Darling, you are the song and you'll always belong to my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm warning you to adjust your safety belts, batten down the hatches, and hold on to your hats. Because here come two of America's zaniest comedians, Abbott and Costello.
Thank you.
hitting for Bud Abbott, who was suddenly taken ill, is Sidney Fields, better known as Professor Melonhead. Boys, you're on.
Well, Professor Melonhead, old boy, how's everything?
All right, Lou, everything's fine.
I understand now that Abbott isn't here. He used to be the manager.
Abbott used to be the manager of the team.
Yeah, I understand he's going to make you the manager.
That's right. In fact, I am now the manager of the team.
Don't make it any tougher than he does for me.
All right.
I would finally like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so when I meet them on the street or in a ballpark or in a drugstore, I'll be able to say hello to those guys.
Well, know the names of the ball players on the team?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, well, I know them.
Good. Well, give me the guys' names on the team.
Well, who's on first? What's on second? Now, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
Abbott made you the manager?
That's right.
You know the guy's names?
Of course I do.
Well, then tell me the fellow's names on a ball club.
Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
You know the guy's names?
Of course I do.
Well, then who's on first?
That's right.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
Who's on first?
That's right.
Have you got a first baseman?
Of course.
Then tell me the first baseman's name.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who's playing first?
What are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's right.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
Have you got a contract with a first baseman?
Of course I have.
Who signed the contract?
Exactly.
Somebody has got to sign the contract on first base. Now, who signed it?
Correct.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
Somebody on first has got to get it. Now, who gets it?
Who?
The fellow on first.
Who? Who gets the money?
Well, he better get it. Look, all I want to know is what is the guy's name on first base?
No, what's on second? Who's on first?
Now, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. Who's on first? He gets the money. Sometimes he sends his wife for the money.
Whose wife?
Yes.
Look, all I want to know is what is the guy's name on first base that's going to get the
what's
money?
What's on second? Who's
I'm
on...
not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
That's what I'm trying to find out. Now, what's the guy's name on first?
What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base. He plays third.
Who plays third?
Who plays first?
How did I get on third base? I'm asking you, what's the fellow's name on third base now?
What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on third?
I don't know.
He plays third.
Here I go, back on third again. Will you please stay on third base and don't go off it?
All right.
Now, who is playing third base?
Who's playing first?
I'm not asking you what's on first.
What's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. You got an outfield?
Of course I have.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask you. Now.
I just thought I'd tell you.
Well, tell me who's playing left field.
Why?
What's the guy's name in left field?
What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Because he's in center.
You got a pitcher on a team?
Of course, certainly.
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
Of course I do.
Then tell me who's going to pitch tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Who's going to pitch?
Oh, no. Who's on first?
I'll break your arm, you say. Who's on first? I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
The pitcher's name tomorrow.
What?
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base. Third base.
No, no. Very simple.
You got a catcher on a team?
Of course we've got a catcher.
The catcher's name.
Today.
Today?
Yeah.
And tomorrow's pitching?
That's correct.
All we got is a couple of days on a team. You know, I'm a catcher, too.
You catch?
Yeah, now I'll get behind the plate. I'll do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and the heavy hitter gets up.
Yeah?
Now, when Tomorrow throws the ball, the guy up bunts the ball. Me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Naturally.
If I throw the ball to first base, somebody has got to get it. Now, who gets it?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
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 So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No, no, no. No. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's right.
So I throw the ball to naturally.
No, no. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
I throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
Okay. I throw the ball to naturally.
No, you don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's right.
Then who gets it?
Naturally.
He better get it.
Every time.
Who?
Naturally.
I throw the ball to first base. Whoever it is grabs the ball, so the guy picks it up and throws it to what? What throws it to? I don't know. I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play. Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What did you say?
I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
You don't see it? Oh.
Now it is our pleasure to once again present Miss Risa Stevens.
Thank you, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to dedicate my next song to all our boys on the far-flung battlefront, with a special salute to the 2,432 Walgreen men and women in the service. The song is You by Jerome Kern.
I hear music when I look at you. A beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew. Down deep in my heart, I hear it play. I feel it start, then melt away. Hear music when I touch your hand. A beautiful melody from some enchanted land. Down deep in my heart, I hear it say, is this the day? I alone have heard this lovely strain. I alone have heard this sad refrain. Must it be forever inside of me? Why can't I let it go? Why can't I let you know? Why can't I let you know? All my heart would sing that beautiful rhapsody of love and youth and spring. The music is sweet, the words are true. must it be forever inside of me? Why can't I let it go? Why can't I let you know? Why can't I let you know the song my heart would sing? That beautiful rhapsody of love and youth and spring. The music is sweet, the words are true.
At Walgreens, filling prescriptions is the most important single thing in our business. It's only a little piece of white paper, but behind it are years of diligent training and painstaking research on the part of your physician and pharmacist. For often, the accurate filling of that little piece of white paper you bring to your drugstore is as vital to you and yours as life itself. No service Walgreens drugstores render is more important than the prompt, 100% accurate filling of prescriptions with drugs that meet the highest standards of purity, freshness, and potency, and with absolute fidelity to your doctor's orders. As a result of 44 years' consistent adherence to this ideal, Walgreens drugstores fill thousands of prescriptions every day, hundreds of thousands every month, millions every year. Yes, it's only a little piece of white paper, but when you take it to Walgreens, you can be confident in the knowledge that at Walgreens, filling prescriptions is the most important single thing in our business. Thank you.
was Carl Hoff and his orchestra playing "The Lovely." And now... hello?
Hello, Mr. Wilson. This is Rochester again, calling from Walgreens in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque? Well, I guess that means you definitely won't be here.
How can you be so pessimistic? I got good news.
You got good news? What is it?
I just went down to the airport to see about getting on a plane, and I was lucky enough to get a number 44B priority.
44B priority? Does that mean that you can get right on a plane?
No, that means that 6 months after the war is over, I can get on a bus. So long, Mr. Wilson.
Comes now a rare treat indeed. Three gals and a guy, otherwise known as the Andrews Sisters and Der Bingle, with that great all-time hit, "Don't Fence Me In."
Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me stand a mile saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences, and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Cause I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Here we come on horseback.
Ride and ride.
Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky.
On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see those mountains rise. Ba 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 ba.
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in, no.
Papa, don't you
fence me in.
I'm going to ask Paulette Goddard to read a telegram which we've just received from the Secretary of the Treasury, Henry J. Morgenthau, Jr., in Washington. Miss Paulette Goddard.
Birthday Party, Wilton Theater, Hollywood, California. To all concerned with the production and performance of the Birthday Party radio program, in cooperation with the 7th War Loan Drive, the Treasury Department extends heartiest congratulations, Henry Morgenthau, Jr.
That's right, Paulette. Well, folks, VE Day has become part of our history. but the war isn't over. If you need any further details, ask that Marine or that soldier who's been fighting for 48 hours straight. Ask the sailor on an aircraft carrier trying to bring down a Jap suicide plane. Ask a pilot who's just fought his way back from the Ak-Ak over Tokyo. Ask a medical corps man, a chaplain, a navigator. Ask King, Nimitz, or Marshall. They'll tell you how far the war is from being over. They'll tell you about the 80 million Japs who still have to be beaten. Sure, they'll tell you all that, but we can tell them something, too. We can tell them that we're buying war bonds. That we're making the 7th war bond the biggest yet. We can tell them that we're investing in democracy. It shouldn't be too tough to dig into your pocket while that kid from the next door is digging in a foxhole.
Gentlemen, we have just brought you, in cooperation with the 7th War Loan Drive, Walgreen Drug Store's 44th birthday party. And all of us here say, dig in, neighbor, and buy an extra bond. And remember, you can buy war bonds at any Walgreen Drug Store.
Drugstore's 44th anniversary came to you from Hollywood. The following stars appeared through the courtesy of their various sponsors: Bing Crosby, Kraft Cheese; Abbott and Costello, Camel; Don Wilson and Rochester, courtesy Jack Benny; the Andrews sisters, Nash Kelvinator Corporation; Paulette Goddard, Paramount Pictures.